Everyone, welcome our new sponsor, Diet Smoke.
Diet Smoke is the premier source for legal THC and mushroom products.
The team at Diet Smoke sent us gummies to enjoy while we whore and chill. My favorite are the grape sleep gummies.
And mine are the cherry lime gummies. With a wide range of strengths and doses, Diet Smoke promises to find the perfect product for you.
Whether you want something strong to unwind, a boost of energy to keep you going, or a lighter option for a mellow high, Diet Smoke has you covered.
They understand everyone is different, which is why they're dedicated to helping you find the perfect product. Their customer service team will be by your side helping you along the way.
Diet Smoke has cannabis gummies, shots, and vapes, each one made to deliver the best balance of flavor and effect.
So don't settle for less and join the Diet Smoke community and discover the buzz for you. Visit dietsmoke.com today and use code DFWTO for 50% off any item and enjoy your journey to cannabis bliss.
Diet Smoke, your partner in finding the perfect THC and mushroom products. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Hey guys, it's Casper
and Becky
from the DFWTO podcast. If you've been a longtime listener, you know how much mental health means to us.
Mental health actually plays a role in many horror films, especially the final girl subgenre. Whether it's Nancy facing her nightmares and defeating Freddy, or Sydney taking out Ghostface to overcome the trauma of and avenge her mother's death. Not only are horror movies a huge comfort to Casper and I, so is putting our mental health first. And if you agree and you're searching for professional services, let BetterHelp be your guide.
BetterHelp will connect you with a licensed therapist who can help you start your journey of self-awareness and discovery. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be flexible and convenient for any type of schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get yourself matched up with a licensed therapist, and you can also switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Just like the final girls that triumph over evil, triumph over your trauma with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/DFWTO and save 10% off your first month when you sign up today. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DFWTO.
And remember, guys,
Don't
don't fuck
fuck
with
with
the
the
original.
original. Now let's get into the episode.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the DFWTO podcast. I'm your host, Casper.
I am your other host, Becky Gremlin.
Here to bring you all things spooky on Wednesdays because
Wednesdays are for podcasts.
So guys, we have an special episode this evening. You guys may remember 3 years ago, we interviewed Ricky of the Fear Footage about his two movies, Fear
Actually, it
Footage,
was the trilogy
the
by
trilogy.
then. Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I know.
I tell you, time is, I can't with time. His three movies, Fear Footage 2, and Fear Footage 3 AM. He came out with a new movie in October of last year called Project Eerie. It was another found footage movie set around Halloween. And he has been so gracious to come back on our podcast to talk about it tonight. So thank you so much for coming back, Ricky.
Oh, thanks for having me again.
So your movie Project Eerie, I have to admit, just starting off, I loved it. I watched it back when it first released,
Same here.
and
Yeah.
I was in so impressed with how well it was thought out and how well it was put together. I was very, very impressed by that.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, as much as we loved the first three, if I have to say my personal favorite out of the Fear Footage trilogy was 3 AM. That it was just I loved the whole concept of it. I really love now see, my husband really loved the first one. But
I'm
I
impartial to
really
the first
I
as
love all of
well,
them, but yeah, 3 AM was like really my favorite. But Project Eerie as a standalone, even though it still kind of had the same feel, sort of bringing it back around to the first one with the anthology part of it, yeah, it just it's almost like it did it's like it had a different feel to it, but it different but it didn't, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I wanted it to be like something. I wanted the stories to be more than like a paranormal aspect, like how the Fear Footage was. So, it kind of with the premise of like the two kids and the whole Men in Black aspect of this, it had to be more, the stories had to be more super, like more sci-fi-ish a little bit. And I didn't realize that making it, but I feel like that's how they kind of turned out, because it had to have some type of edge that, like, a government would be investigating these tapes for, it had to be something that they would be looking into, like, a weird beach, like in the first one, that's swallowing people, or like the moon flickering, or an astronaut that kind of got loose. So it had to have aspects that would lead them to want to look into these things. So I couldn't really go just, I like to do the ghost found footage type stuff, but I couldn't really do that as heavy with that, because it's not something tangible that they would be actually looking into.
Okay, yeah, and that
Makes
totally makes
perfect
sense
sense.
because it even though all three were different, that gave it the tie-in, basically. Was that it was
Yeah, it was
all
kind of, there was a little bit of, yeah, like a supernatural sci-fi type of element to each one, I
right.
think.
Yeah,
The
exactly.
Amish one was the best, but
Oh
I
yeah,
don't
that
know.
was
See,
definitely
and
our
with that one,
favorite.
that was like more paranormal, ghosty, but at the end it had like the moon flicker, so that's something, I had to add something that, they would be interested in. Because if it was just like a witchcraft ghost thing, I don't think, but like, oh shit, the moon's flickering. All right, there's something going on here that they might want to keep an eye on.
I literally just told Becky before we even started recording. I was like, that was one of the coolest scenes ever where he said the light just flickered and the moon fucking flickers.
Yeah.
Like that's so cool.
Yeah.
The thing is, when I wrote the story, that wasn't even written in it. It kind of, that was a really weird story to like film and do, because everyone in that is all my friends. Like, none of those guys are like professional actors or wannabe actors. They just do stuff in my movies. So like when we went away to film that, there really was no dialogue. We really didn't do a lot of dialogue on set, and I did like 98% of it voiceover later on, like in my house or my basement. And then so the story kind of came together as I was editing it, like with the whole, the light just flickered. Like that wasn't, it's weird how it tied in. It kind of, it took me a long time. I just kept working on it, but it kind of came together like in the editing room rather than what I wrote. What I wrote was completely different of what turned out when I was editing it. And then I was just like, oh, the light flicker here, and that would be cool if it comes back at the end somehow. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but it just worked out, and I thought it turned out pretty good.
Oh, I agree. And I think a lot of films, I've heard that happening to a lot of films where the way it was, the intentions of how it was written end up coming out totally different, but
Yeah.
it just
Works.
works. It just works. It worked.
It's
So what was it like this time around with doing your fourth film?
it was hard as shit, I'll tell you that, because just because
Thank you for your honesty.
well, just because anthologies are hard. And I don't know why I tortured myself with another one, but it's just because it's like you're making four movies at the same time, because they all have to have different characters, different sets. They have to be about different things, different settings, and rather than like one feature is not as difficult. So it was definitely hard. It took a long time. But at the end, I was super happy with it. So it was worth it. It was hard, I'll tell you that. It was nonstop. That's a good word, nonstop.
How long did it take you to film it? Or I guess to do it essentially.
Like, yeah, for the, I mean, probably about 2 years. Because as soon as I was done when I did Pure Footage 3 AM, I didn't know what I was gonna do. I was just sitting around, and then the way it works is kind of the way I'll do something is whatever. Like, if I get a little idea, whatever starts kind of writing itself is what I'll do. Like, if it's just, I don't like to, like force something else. I just like to go with what's actually coming out. So it was one of those things where the only ideas I was coming up with was like little short stories, like the ones that are in it. So it, I was, I was just like, every idea I had, it couldn't be a feature, I thought. So it kind of just was like, I think I'll do another anthology. I didn't expect it to take as long as it did, or, but that's just the way it goes.
Did some of that have to do with, because I will say, that's another thing that I loved about this one, as far as an anthology was the sets. The sets were great. Specifically in the very beginning of the how did that go about with the like the government facility that the that Jesse and Jacob ultimately come
So
across?
that was actually old footage that I had. So the way that worked is that was the one thing I couldn't get my hands on is like inside of and I work on a government base, but you can't film on there or anything.
Oh,
So
yeah.
the one thing like that was the one thing I used to have a lot of buildings around me like government old shit you could go in and like people would go in and set them on fire. So they closed them all up. You can't do it without getting arrested anymore. So that was the one thing I didn't have was a building that I could actually film in that looked like that. But what I did have was old footage from when I filmed some other stuff that I never used. So the way I did that was I just used that and then they voiced it over like they were actually in there. And then there would be like times where I would like pan over and you could see Jesse and he my friend Dennis owns an abandoned house that he inherited. It's just kind of sitting there. And I would just go in there for them little pans. Because it looks like it matched the building, it's like an old
Wow.
abandoned. So it was really weird the way I tied that in. And when I did it, I didn't think it was gonna work. I'm like, there's just no way. And watching it, I played it for other people. They didn't even notice. They're like, oh, I thought that was just them in the building.
I would have never.
That just means
I had to
you
ask.
are good fucking at very good at editing,
I would
if I
have
can
never
speak.
guessed. I would have never
Yeah,
guessed.
it was weird because that was a hang up. I'm like, I looked everywhere. I was like going to buildings and just nothing was gonna work to where I would have like free range. If it just wasn't gonna happen, so I had to do it a different way, and it turned out pretty good.
So when you were talking about kind of going the route with the concept of this film with Project Eerie, what inspired you ultimately with the story with and kind of what I mean by not so much like the short stories, but it ultimately coming together with it being this
Like a
Jesse,
government, yeah.
yeah, with it sort of being like a government, almost like
Area 51.
Area 51, MK
X-Files type
Ultra,
thing.
Stranger Things type. I mean, it
Yeah.
had like all of that mixed in it.
It didn't really like it wasn't like I kind of set out for that. I knew that what I knew going in was the beginning of the two teenagers. I knew they were gonna go into this like government thing. They were gonna find a disc. What I didn't know is how it was gonna end. And I had all these weird like way
Okay.
too out there ideas I thought. So I really didn't know that it was gonna come back around. It would be like these Men in Black thing originally. I tried other things and just none of it kind of worked. So it just kind of happened organically really. Like I thought like I had all these crazy like alien involved, like too. I thought it was too much. So then I kind of was like, let me keep it in reality. What would probably really happen? Let's just have like, these men in black show up. They kidnap these kids for, because they're releasing some shit they shouldn't have had, or not that it would really happen, but you know what I mean? More grounded in reality. So I chose that avenue rather than anything else.
That was definitely one thing that was really relatable, I would think, for sure, especially if it was like two kids fucking around in a small town and on Halloween night, just
When not and during 2020, so Halloween's pretty much non-existent.
right. Yeah. So there's nothing, there's literally
Nothing to
nothing
do.
happening, nothing going
Yeah.
on. Yeah, we'll
And
just.
what I also liked about that is, which I didn't know this was gonna happen either, was like I guess we'll call them the Men in Black. I don't know what we're calling them, but when the Men in
That
Black
works.
come at night, they have like COVID masks on, so it
That was
disguises them even
perfect.
more.
Right. I
So
love
I so
that.
that I yeah I didn't even I threw that like later. I'm like, oh, they could just because you could originally see like faces. It didn't work. So once I added that, I'm like, oh, this is better because now they're like they got glasses, masks. They're totally disguised.
I
And they
remember.
would have the mask on at that time, so it
Of
just made
course.
sense.
I remember in 2020 when I would watch shows, or even 2021, like I would watch new things coming out. That was something that always crossed my mind. I'm like, why aren't they wearing masks? And I'm like, you're literally watching, like, stop it. What are you
Or do you remember when
And
we watched movies where they
I
did
was like
incorporate it?
I was a little worried at first that like because it was actually really hard to get Amazon to accept this. I think it was on me. It's always like small like an aspect ratio. It never has anything to do with the actual story or movie. It's always like a technical issue. But so I was worried that maybe like a COVID thing might be like a red flag. You know, I didn't know if that was, because he says COVID a few times in it. I had to cut it out because I didn't know if that was, you know, kicking back something. You never know with shit like that.
I mean, and you know, it makes sense. I think you were seeing that more. I don't know if I don't know how much you're seeing of it now, but there was a thing.
I don't think like, I remember host ever saying the word COVID. I think they just said either pandemic or they said, because I don't think they ever said COVID.
Or the masks. Like we were talking about, like, you know, she ran out but made sure she put her mask on. Like that, like we were, the movies that we saw during that time where it's like, you know, this is a part of, this is going to be a part of the lexicon now. So years from now, anything that we watch that,
toilet paper,
if it's not toilet paper, right?
Triggered.
If you're not, if it, the word doesn't even have to be mentioned,
right?
Just the reference, just the sheer references to it is enough.
Yeah,
so
I thought it could be like, you know, you never know with shit like that what might flag something, but it wasn't that. I don't think ultimately it was some other stuff, but.
Well, the story worked. I mean, the ending worked. The whole thing came together perfect. I'm a child of the 90s. I loved the X-Files. You know, like that, that was my show. So any movie connected to that kind of story, anything that has to do with government underground, I mean, I'm for, and then again, the 2020 setting just
made it perfect,
made it even more perfect.
Yeah. I really didn't, even link the X-Files thing until I was like, somebody reviewed it and they mentioned that. And I was like, oh, that is true. Like, I wasn't like, man, that's going to be like X-Files. But once they said it, I'm like, oh, that makes, it is kind of like that. And I didn't even, never link that myself. I like that, you know, it kind of has that feel.
It does. I mean, it, anybody, like I said, I think that show was sort of a springboard to getting any nerd into that type of concept of movies or shows or.
Yeah.
Or anything like that related to that. In the first sequence, with you and your daughter camping, how is the scene? I'm just curious how the scene was done. Like you mentioned before, the beach actually like taking your body essentially.
That was cool.
About that before we started recording of how. It was done in a way that, like, was believable without being, like, too over the top or too fakey or too hokey. I remember, like, second time watching it again going, how in the hell? Unless you want to keep that a secret. But, I mean, like, I was so, like, what?
It really wasn't much that I did. So, well, it kind of was. It was a mixture. So there was a guy I used. This is the first time I've used, like, anybody for any type of visual. Like when it was just too big for me and I didn't want to fuck it up. There, a guy named Alex Azorski. I hope I'm saying that right. We just communicated through email and PayPal. That's how. But he actually, so the way it worked is I explained with him what I needed. And he was like, and I'm like, what I did was I was like, look, here's what I need. My plan is I'm going to film the scene. Like I'll fall, I'll lay there. And then I'll just get up and leave the camera still there. And you'll have a shot with me on the sand and then a shot without me on the sand. In between that, I need you to get me to suck into the sand. And then I just sent it to him, and he sent it back in like a week, and we kind of, you know, tweaked a little bit here and there, and then it was good. And that's, like, he did a few things. He did the moon flicker. You know, that was simple, but, like, little stuff like that I used him on. It was just simpler, and he was good. I just found him on Instagram and was like, hey, man, I see you do some, you know, video effects. Would you be interested? And he was like, oh, yeah. So it was weird. Like, I never met him. You know, we never talked on the phone. We just communicated through email, and I would send him the clip. He would send it back. I would send him his payment, and we worked like that. But he was great, and that scene turned out great.
It did.
That is awesome.
That's really cool,
Listen,
though.
Listen, man.
It looked really real. Like, legit.
When social media and the internet do good.
It's a gift and a curse. You can use it for good.
I'm telling you, man, when it comes together like that, because that worked. That
really
did. It was perfect.
He did, like, when Abner, the Amish dude's head spins, he did that. Because I did it myself, and I didn't love it. And I sent it to him. I'm like, hey, you can work on this. and he got that to look better than it did. The only, it would just be tricky because I would have to film it a certain way so that he had everything he needed to actually make it work. So that was the only trick. I kind of, you know, I would just shoot a lot, so I had coverage, but it always worked out.
Yeah, that scene's amazing when his head just whips around like that. I'm like, oh, hell no.
You know, in any anything with seeing more of that, any of those Amish, I know, like, there was something I watched on Discovery Plus, and I know it was fictional, but it was something about, like, possessed Amish.
Are you talking about Paranormal Activity Next of Kin?
No, it wasn't that one. Okay. It was like they shot it like a documentary style. The more I'm seeing of that, it's because of us, and I think with, you know, I think that sequence was the in Pennsylvania, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, it actually wasn't. I actually filmed it in Virginia, but
okay.
You know, it was supposed to be Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania,
pretty much like Lancaster.
I gotcha. Okay, right. Because living here in Ohio, you know, you only have to go maybe an hour or two north of us. I'd say probably 2 hours north of us in any direction, and you're finding it. And I think it's the mystery and the lore and behind it all that it's so easy to put that story in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's just a very interesting way of life.
And yes.
It's just, you know, there's, like, they're always great people. Me and my wife camp in, like, Amish country a lot.
They're
great, but there's just something about the lifestyle that's a little eerie. You know, it's just like, there's no light. For like, the hardcore Amish, like, there's no lights, there's no running water. You know, it's like, everything's candle lit at night. It's a very ominous, but I always wanted to, I heard you mention the Next of Kin Paranormal Activity. The funny story with that is, when I was working on the Amish one, I was just writing it, and I had, there was a guy I was going to get to be in it. He didn't end up being in it, but, so I'm writing it, and I see, like, I don't know, maybe like a month in, I was just kind of tweaking some stuff, and there's the trailer for Paranormal Activity Next of Kin comes out, and I was like, luckily, I don't even think there were Amish in that, it turned out to be, but I was like, I can't do this now. Somebody, you know, how did this even happen? But so I told the guy I wasn't doing the thing anymore, he ended up not being a part of it, and then I finally just did it with my friends as the last one I shot. Because I was like, fuck it, I'm still going to do it. Because once I saw that, it wasn't anything like it. So I was like, fuck it, I'm still going to do it.
And they didn't end up being Amish, you're right. They were...
Yeah, I think they were. I remember.
And it was a cult.
It was a cult.
It was more of a cult,
I could say,
aspect.
Like a demonic cult.
Yeah, it was the way that, I guess, it was the way
it was honestly terrible.
I did not care for it. I guess it was their way of trying to...
I didn't hate it, but it was... I mean, it was done well and all, but it wasn't... You know, it was different.
It was their way of trying to tie the story back in.
I feel like the demon story wasn't good.
Right.
They had a good concept. I love the fact that they presented as Amish, but they weren't actually Amish.
Right.
And it was also one of those things which I hate with found footage. It's the ultimate sin of found footage for me. It was one of those things where, like, it was found footage for, like, a most part, and then there was, like, scenes that just weren't.
Yes,
like,
right.
Who's filming this?
Yes. Is the demon holding the camera? Is the demon in the room?
It was something that she said, like, or she said to the demon, or the demon said to her, that literally took me completely out. And I can't remember what it said.
I watched it one time, and
something
I do
about
not
mother
think,
or daughter or
I do
something.
Not think I,
was
I
like,
can bring myself
hell?
To watch that movie again. I watched it one time.
I love the Paranormal Activity franchise.
Same.
I don't watch anything they put out, but yeah,
same.
I don't remember that one much.
Same. Very much agree. I think it was just their way of trying to tie things back into the original story with the demon. But, I mean, you know, I'm the same. We love the franchise. It's one of those things where all the movies we'll watch, you know,
besides
regardless.
Six.
But
Ghost Dimension doesn't exist.
Wait,
anyway.
Six was the Ghost Dimension, right?
Yeah. That movie was way worse than Next of Kin.
Yeah.
100%.
That was a tough one.
I actually saw that one in theaters with the 3D glasses on because it was like, you will see the activity. And I got motion sickness and shit, and I was like, I gotta leave.
Oh, no!
Oh, no.
It was like, it was bad in 3D. Like,
it was.
Found footage doesn't bother me. I'll get motion sickness on a boat and shit, but like watching it, I'm fine. But that one with the 3D glasses on, I was like, I'm gonna throw up in this aisle.
I feel like Cloverfield would make me throw up in 3D easily because I get motion sick too.
It's funny you mentioned Cloverfield. I saw that in theaters. I was fine. I bought the Blu-ray, watched it at home. I was like, I'm going to throw up. I can't do this. It was, I don't know why, but it, the second watch, I got sick as shit watching that. That movie's shaky as hell.
It really did not do it to me. And that's strange because I'm big on, like, if, yeah, I get motion sick in a car.
It is interesting because, like, I get motion sick very easily, but found footage is my favorite subgenre of horror, and you'd think I'd get more motion sick, but I don't. The only one that's made me motion sick is Cloverfield.
Yeah, Cloverfield was a different one, though. First time I watched it, fine. Second time, made me sick. It's weird.
It is a great film, though.
It is great.
It is.
It is a great movie. So, getting back to the actual, like, so the, is there any connection in the film between the three cities, or was that just to break apart the stories?
Yeah, it was just pretty much to break apart, you know, the stories, for them to kind of take place in different areas, just, you know, just to show that things are kind of happening all over. But they're also 10 years apart. Which, I didn't know. I think it was, oh, it was 94, 04, 14, I think. And then this is 24. So it probably won't happen. But I was thinking, just in case I drop something a little quick, it could, you know, it could be that next decade of something weird happening. But I just did that for like a little Easter egg.
That's actually really cool. Because anything, there was a, like, I love time loop concepts in films, but I also love, like, spaces and, like, things going from different, like, 10 years later, another 10 years later, another 10 years later, and, like, spanning within those time frames. There was a really great German Netflix series called Dark that did that in a very, very, very interesting way.
I heard that was good. I never saw it, but I heard that was good.
It was really well done. Yeah. That can be really interesting as a tie-in. And I really enjoyed that. The other sequence, I wanted to mention the second one with the hunters and the astronaut. There was a movie that came out in 2020 that was a Russian film called Sputnik that I didn't really see a lot of talk on. I didn't really see it on anybody's radar. I really enjoyed it. And I just kind of want to throw it out there for the fans that if anybody's wanting to see a concept like what you put in that short story as
Is
more of like
a
long form.
Or just a...
I'm sorry, what?
Is it a found footage movie or just like...
No.
It is not found footage. No.
It is actually really good though.
So the concept of the film is a cosmonaut comes back from space with something in him, and they have him locked down in a lab in Russia, and they call in a scientist. So I don't want to give a lot away, but I will warn everybody, it is subtitles, yes, because it is in Russian. I believe it was on Netflix. I think it's still on Netflix.
I don't know if it is now.
But it was very, that particular sequence, watching it again, immediately flashed me back to that film. Because that's another thing, because that concept has been done before with... I guess you could, I mean, I guess it was a thriller, but I guess you could categorize it as horror. The Johnny Depp film, The Astronaut's Wife. And I know a lot of people didn't like that movie, but I mean, it's like, it's the same concept. And I think it's kind of going back to that Amish thing, like the unknown of space. I mean, it's the whole, like, without like blatantly having an alien, but like coming back and like, you look like you, but like something's off, and it's still got that government thing too, and the whole.
So the thing with that story is, I wrote it all the way up until they capture the Kevin Wickers dude, and I didn't know what the creature, because originally, you know, I was thinking too low. I'm like, it's gonna be like a big, you know, Bigfoot, and then I'm like, it's been done a gazillion times. So that's what I was trying to find out is. So the way I came up with that is, in like real life, I'll follow like a lot of like true crime shit that's happening as it's happening. So there was the Gabby Petito story. I don't know if you guys
follow
that or know about it. So, you know, she was missing, her boyfriend came back, whatever. And I was thinking, like, what if he came back and he was like on the run. He wasn't, but it seemed that way. So, and I'm thinking, like, what if he's on the run and they finally get him and he tells this crazy story that nobody believes, but it ends up being real. Like, if he's like, look, fucking Bigfoot killed the girl. I took off because nobody's going to believe this shit. And then, you know, Bigfoot shows up and you're like, oh, fuck, he was telling the truth. So I wanted to do something like that. And I didn't, but I didn't want to do like a Bigfoot or, you know, something you've seen before. So I didn't know what it was going to be. And then for Christmas, my daughter got this light in her room. It's a little astronaut and he lights up and like lights stars all over the sky. And I was like, oh, shit, that's it. Because I had never personally seen, like, an astronaut in a horror movie. So I'm like, that would – now I got to figure out how it's going to work. But that could be it, like a creepy-looking, you know, like an infected astronaut. So that's how I came up with it being an astronaut. I didn't know what it was going to be originally. I just knew everything up to that point. It took me some time to figure that out.
I loved it. I loved that concept because you're exactly right. Because, again – the astronaut's wife technically wouldn't be considered horror. And Sputnik was not an American-made film. That was a Russian-made film.
Yeah,
so
I've never seen that. I'll check that out, though.
I have not. I'm the exact same way as you are. I had never seen that concept specifically put in horror before. Like that. Like the way you did it. And it's again, that thing, like, instead of it being like the like the movie Alien or Predator like that kind of concept of the alien, like the human has the alien in them, like that's like they like again, and again I feel like it's another COVID time, like they bring a disease back and the alien is the disease or whatever, you know, I mean, it just, it all works, it all ties in.
Like when I wrote it, the end scene I was gonna have, like, where the guy's walking away and the air raid sirens are going off and there's a little town below that he's heading toward. And I didn't, when I rented that cab, that was actually the first segment. In that segment, everybody in that is like an actor that I hired, besides the astronaut, that was my friend James, who also played the Amish guy. But everybody else, that was the first time I ever hired actors, directed actors. So that was and I just rented a cabin in Western Maryland and we just did it in a weekend. And I didn't know, like, I really wanted that scene at the end. And like, I wanted the little small town. So I thought I was going to have to like do some CGI and get that, you know, film a town and then tie it in. And I get there and I go up there's like this huge hill. It was on a bunch of like 80 acres or something. And I go up and you could see the town from below. And it was like meant to be. I just Airbnb'd a cabin in Western Maryland that looked like it would work. And it had exactly the shot that I needed. It was weird the way it panned out like that.
And that worked. That was perfect. And I was hoping that it would end, that it would somehow tie in that way, that this thing is like, that it's spreading.
Yeah.
Cause I love that concept too. That was, that worked out really well. And you also, I just wanted to say too, because I think, I'm still one that likes a good jump scare if the jump scare can be timed right. And I'll tell you what, that one with the alien, like, it was, it got me.
Which one? The glass?
The glass.
Okay.
It got
the
me.
The funny thing is, with that scene, that's another one where that, the guy who did, so I filmed that without a window there. And then I told him what I needed, and he added a window that broke when, you know, came through. That really, there was no glass or anything, but it worked.
It did.
I am trying so hard to remember this alien found footage movie that I saw. I want to say it was like 2 or 3 years ago. I cannot remember the name of it for the life of me, and I'm trying to look up and see if I can find it. So
I may be able to help.
I was going to say, if you can help, please by all means. So these people, I'm going to like rough draft it real as much as I can remember. This person goes into the woods. Something lands in the woods. It's this weird looking, asteroid. It's like a weird looking asteroid, and like this stuff comes out of it, and this person touches it and gets infected. they actually work for this facility. They go to the facility. They're starting to get overtaken by this thing. And they're making videos about how it's infecting them.
It started like Creepshow. It started like the Stephen King segment in the original
Creepshow. Oh, yeah.
And he touches it. It spreads on him. But
I remember that. But, that's like, I remember this woman especially. She was getting infected, and she was doing videos on updates about how she was doing. And then it ends up, like, taking over her, and this other guy ends up getting it, and then you find out it was an alien. Honestly, it wasn't that great of a movie, but it's the whole thing about you talking about, like, the thing the getting infected. It made me think of that movie, and I cannot think of what it's called. I think it's.
Yeah, I used to be really up on found footage. I'm lacking a little bit now. Once I kind of started making them, I didn't. It was hard to kind of keep. And then I had a 4-year-old on top of it.
Well, hey, there you go. That's enough right there. I wanted to say, okay, so that's interesting too. Like, going to kind of go with that concept of not. I would get that though of not wanting to pull from. Probably not wanting to pull from somebody else's movies either, too. You know, like, you want to be, get being inspired, you know, there's always that line of being inspired by a film and not wanting to feel like there were, like you said with the Amish sequence, like, when the Next of Kin came out, you're like, oh, crap, I don't want anybody to think that this is what I was trying to do.
But the good news is, like, not that I would need to, but there's people that know that I was already like working on that. So that's where I felt, I was like, I had already like was doing like, you know, reading Amish books and shit just to kind of learn the lifestyle of it. I was already a month and a half in. I'm like, fuck, I can't, you know, I didn't want it to look like I was copying, but at the same time, I had spent a lot of time on this already. I already bought shit. I had an actor hired. So I was like, fuck it, I'm just going with it.
Yeah, like, I'm still going to do this. And it ended up that it wasn't even the same thing anyway. It wasn't even remotely the same. So that ended up working out perfect.
I'll probably never find it.
Is there any... I've literally never heard of this movie. I've never heard of it.
It was one of those very... I think I found it on Tubi, honestly. I think it was on Tubi.
There you go.
But if you haven't, one thing I want to suggest to you, if you haven't seen a really good alien found footage that no one talks about, is Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah, that's a
good one. I haven't seen that, but that was on my list. I wanted to see that.
It is top notch as far as alien found footage. But anyway,
that one was
that's such an underrated movie. Nobody talks about that one. At all.
Yeah, I gotta check that out.
It's probably because it's hard to find, I'm guessing.
Yeah. There's that other one that I watched, too, about the Phoenix Lights.
Phoenix Forgotten?
Yeah,
Phoenix Forgotten.
Phoenix Forgotten is another very well-done found footage film that is based on something, you know,
Lights.
True. Yeah, the Phoenix Lights thing. Yeah.
Like, all those people filmed them, I think, like, that night. It was, like, 97 or something.
That ended up years ago being a Redbox movie that I did just out of the blue. I'm telling you, you can come across some gem films. I feel like that was how we did with Fear Footage.
Yeah.
I feel like that was totally how we came across Fear Footage. Like, your film was one of those where it's just, like, take a chance, and it was, like, oh my God, I really like this. And
that's great.
That's, yeah, man.
That's how I came across Hell House LLC, too.
Me and my friends would go to Blockbuster on like a Friday, and we would just pick a random movie.
I love it.
A horror movie. And we found so many gems. I don't know if you guys ever seen it. It's one of my favorite horror movies ever, probably. Session 9.
Hell yeah. That movie's so fucked up.
Found Session 9. We were just like, oh, this looks pretty cool. And we watched it. We're like, what the fuck is going on there?
Session 9 fucked with me. I'm not gonna lie.
That's a mind fuck, and it's creepy as shit.
It is. It's very good.
That was one of those that we just kind of was like, I would try this.
And we went there.
The funny thing is, though, I remember we were in like 8th grade, and I was recommending it to all the other kids, and they're like, this shit's stupid. What the hell? Nothing happened. And nobody, it was weird. I'm like, how did we're the only ones that got that. Like, nobody, everybody else was like, this is dumb. Nothing happens. They would come back in and report. Like, that was terrible. Like, fuck, what do we mean?
Yeah, we were at the place it was filmed. We've been there before.
Where's that at?
It's in Danvers, Massachusetts, like right outside of Salem.
Okay.
it's now a condo.
Yeah.
So this is
not as creepy, not as creepy anymore.
So the movie was filmed, well, I mean, it still very much feels creepy because the cemetery for the mental hospital is still on the grounds. Like next to these very expensive, very, very, very expensive condos.
And that was back in 2019. They were about $2,000, right?
Yeah.
That was 2019. So,
yeah. So you can only probably quadruple.
It's probably $7,000.
Yeah, for sure. But I think that that movie was filmed around the time that they were getting ready to demolish most of it, except for the front facade. They left that.
Then what was it called?
Danvers State Mental Hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, literally lobotomies and everything was done at that place. And it's like, come pay $7,000 a month now.
We literally.
It's not haunted.
Not at all.
Funny story, though. So when we decided to do this, I don't know why we did, but we did. We had no idea our way around, and it was nighttime, and we're like, let's go see Danvers in the dark. And
she loves to tell this story.
And it's so funny. At the time, it wasn't, but we drove up there, had no idea. There were no signs. We couldn't see much of anything because it was really dark.
Well, I don't think that they want I kind of get that. Because
people live there.
People live there now. So I don't think that they really want. I think people that find out about the history, it's not like back when it was abandoned and people would go in there and like, you know, urban explorer, ghost hunt or whatever, you know, like now that, you know, these are where people live, but there are pictures of it lit up at night and it looks incredibly creepy. I mean, it looks like actually that place now, this just jogged my memory. It was, H.P. Lovecraft's inspiration for Arkham Asylum.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It in the Necronomicon, like it was his inspiration because he's from Connecticut. So he took a lot of inspiration from Massachusetts and all of his, like the Dunwich Horror and all of his writings. So, yeah, it looks really, really creepy. And trying to find it at night was near impossible. We ended up finding out that the reason why we kept having the creepy feeling that we were having.
Oh, no, I didn't even. I didn't even tell him that part yet.
Well, we found out the next day that we were right next to the cemetery. And that's how we ended up finding out that the mental hospital cemetery is still on the grounds next to where the condo is.
What happened was we were trying to find it. So Becky just pulled over because I was like, hold on a second. Let's see if we can pull this up on a map. So she pulls over. It's dark. All that's next to us on the right is a big field. That's all that's there. And I remember her looking at her phone and all I could feel was get the fuck out right now.
It was
and I felt like if you looked up while you were looking down, someone's face was going to be right at the car window looking at you.
I think it was the Conjuring 3, the very beginning of the scene when Ed and Lorraine are at the cemetery and she's looking at the map.
I didn't see the third one, but get.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so I swear to you, this doesn't ruin anything.
No,
she takes the map down. Like it was kind of the scene. And I love scenes like this, like where you don't see anything. And then you look at the map and then they pull it down. And you don't see anything. And then all of a sudden, like there's ghosts right there. Like they're just,
accurate interpretation of how it felt.
And that's how it felt.
She's like, I'm trying to just drive. And I'm like, I need you to leave.
It was pitch, but it was pitch dark in a state and place that we had never been before.
Yeah.
And it's like, I would really not like to drive into a middle of the field and my car gets stuck and we have to call AAA in this haunted
and
field.
And I'm like trying not to panic.
And we might be trespassing. I don't know. I don't really want to get arrested in Massachusetts.
But I am telling
you. This would not be cool.
I am telling you when it felt like there were just eyes. Just so many eyes. And then the next day when we found out we were right next to that cemetery.
I would say for sure, anybody that believes, and we do, anybody that believes in that kind of thing. Yeah. I mean,
Massachusetts is a place to be.
It just makes sense.
That is true. Massachusetts. I've never been. We're going to do like Salem and all. I just haven't done it. But yeah, Massachusetts, if there's going to be anything anywhere, it'll probably be there.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. If I can just recommend one thing, because I think this is something that people make a big mistake, and I get it because of, you know, I get
it. Don't go in October.
Oh, please.
Don't go in October.
I know. But how do you not? That's the thing.
I get, like, yeah.
So my friend that lives there, she said if you want to enjoy it during the fall, Don't go in October, go in early September.
Yeah, I would go
She
back
said it's
September.
A little bit better then.
Because there's like, there's just, because we've looked into it, there's like, only, you know, there's certain things we want to do that only take place in October. You know,
right.
Like the, I don't know if you guys have ever seen like the Salem Night Fair.
Yeah.
And like it's all through the old, where they shot Hocus Pocus through the mm-hmm. house and shit.
Yeah.
We do that in October, you know, it's like a flea market through there. It's amazing.
Now,
videos, but it looks good.
Interestingly mm-hmm. enough, when we went in June in 2019, it was so weird. It was decorated like Halloween because they were shooting parts of Adam Sandler's Hubie Halloween.
Hubie Halloween.
Yeah.
I actually love that movie. I thought that was great.
It was amazing. I'll be 40 this year, and I'm telling you, it was so nostalgic.
Yeah, for me, that's what I loved about it. That it was the Halloween atmosphere of it was great.
It was,
you know what it reminded me of? It was kind of like this era's Ernest Scared Stupid a little bit.
Yes!
You know?
Oh my God, thank you. I could not agree more. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Perfect.
Yeah,
oh man. And great. I think
great.
For people our age range, it was something like for us, there was stuff for us and there was stuff for the kids too.
Yeah.
Like it was, yeah that was a great film. Big Adam Sandler fan.
They were like, you know, Adam Sandler's here. And we're like, what?
That would have been awesome because it was around the time of my birthday, and I'm like, we'd love to meet Adam Sandler for my birthday. Yeah, no,
we met plenty of spirits, but not Adam Sandler.
But not Adam Sandler. No Adam Sandler. So just one thing I'm really I have to ask, is there any, especially just being such a big fan of the trilogy, is there any tie-in whatsoever with Project Eerie to the Fear Footage trilogy, or is Project Eerie just going to be its own
entity,
standalone, or part of its own series of films?
Yeah, there was no tie-in at all.
Okay,
I hate to break your heart, but
that's okay. No, you're fine. I had to know.
Just because it wouldn't have made any sense, because some of the same actors from, you know, parts of that or in, it just would have never, it would have made it really confusing had that happened. It had to be a completely standalone. But I'm working on something now that will be a spinoff of it that I think will be pretty cool. So I mean, I'm nowhere near beginning anything on it, but hopefully you know, in the next year maybe.
Oh, nice.
It'll be out, and it should be pretty cool.
Hey, we know the mini we did our first press run with Horror Hound last year in their film festival. We're doing it again this year, this weekend.
Okay.
Actually, that's come up so quick. And it's, you know, when you really start speaking to independent filmmakers and you realize just how long the whole process takes of just everything, especially if you're working and not just, there's a big difference between low budget and no budget, like micro budget.
There's low budget and then there's micro budget.
Yeah.
I do micro budget.
Yeah. And, but you can turn out, we have come across so many great films with a micro budget, all because of the fact that if you give it a chance and the concept works, they turn out to be really, really, really good films. Really good films.
I feel like you kind of almost got to be a little bit more creative too, because you don't have the crutches of just like CGI or like all this crazy stuff, or, you know, the best actors. So you kind of have to, you got to be like a magician a little bit to be able to hide certain things and kind of make it work. So, you know, some of my favorite movies ever are like micro budget. Blair Witch Project, you know, Paranormal Activity, these kind of things are like super micro budget, you know, DIY movies.
And they work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they just,
because of that.
And you look back you know, when you mentioned like Blair Witch Project and things like that, you look back on, I look back on like big name. I think a lot of people forget that Jaws was low budget and that
they literally,
and that the
made
damn
it to where you didn't see him until the end.
Well, the thing never, it. Well, no, it never worked either.
Oh, that too.
It never worked. The shark never worked.
The shark did not.
It broke down all the time. And the fact that never seeing it as often as you did worked, and
yeah,
I feel like
better, yeah,
that made it even better. And I feel like so many movies, with or without acknowledging it or not, have sort of piggybacked off of that, like the less you see, the better, the 100%. Scarier it is, because your brain can come up with the most terrifying things.
Less is more.
Less is more.
Yeah, like literally the shit that they especially did in both Blair Witch,
especially in found footage. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, there's times where you got to show something here or there, but yeah, if you can hide it as much as you can or show it in smallest glimpses you can, I feel like it works better.
Paranormal Activity and Blair Witch are the best examples of that. You don't really see anything in Blair Witch at all, but Heather's like, what the fuck is that? What the fuck is that? And you're looking, you're like, I don't see shit. What are you talking about? And I love that.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Ricky, when you brought up Bigfoot, I have to mention Willow Creek, because I think that that movie was one of those that it's a Bigfoot movie. We know it's a Bigfoot movie. It's very clear it's a Bigfoot movie. We never see Bigfoot.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So there's actually another one that's it's underrated. I've never heard anyone talk about it. It's a Bigfoot found footage movie. It's called I think it's Bigfoot Country or Bigfoot County, one of the two. So that is the perfect example. Can I spoil it for you guys? Because it's great.
I don't care.
I'm
gonna watch it. You said Bigfoot found footage. I'm in it.
Spoiler alert to our listeners out here.
So what happens? The way it works is like these guys go out and they're looking for Bigfoot or whatever. It's very, you know, by the numbers for a while. And then it ends up being kind of like Deliverance. They run into these wild hillbillies, and it's very Deliverance for 45 minutes of it. And then they kill these people that are looking for Bigfoot, whatever. They're doing fucked up shit to them. And then they take their bodies and they dump them like in the woods. And, you know, they fall out of the car, they leave them, the camera's rolling. And then like the camera is just a still shot. And then, like, maybe 40 yards in the distance, you see Bigfoot walk by. And it's like...
Are you talking about the movie Evidence?
Huh?
Are you talking about the movie Evidence?
No. I've seen that too, though.
No, there is a... It's called Bigfoot Country.
Yeah, it's Bigfoot Country, so...
It's actually on Tubi. Yeah.
Was it on Tubi?
It's saying it. Well, okay. I don't quote me. Google can have it.
I saw it before Tubi. But I thought it was genius, because it was like the whole movie, there's no Bigfoot. You forget it's a Bigfoot movie. And then that last shot, there he is in the distance. You're like, holy fuck, he really was out there.
So it would have come out in, did it come out in 2017 then?
It could have been.
Sound like roundabout?
That might be right, yeah.
Okay.
I swear I've seen this movie.
I have not.
Because I went through a day where I watched Exists, I watched Willow Creek, I watched Evidence, and I said,
no, I have not seen this.
Have you seen Bigfoot, The Lost Coast tapes?
Yes, I did.
That one's amazing,
too. I don't remember
too.
Much of it, but I did see it.
Because I went through a whole day where I was like, Bigfoot found footage! I swear I watched that one.
Yeah, I just remember like thinking that one was really good. Like, the acting, everything was really good, and then I thought I had a perfect ending.
That's right, because Evidence is the one that ends up being like Resident Evil, isn't it?
Yeah.
That one ends up crazy as hell.
Yeah, I love Bigfoot. I think, and if there's anything true to your character in the first sequence of the film, you must love camping, Ben. That's got to be a big... Yeah, I mean, anybody that loves camping...
That was actually my motorhome. We actually camp a lot.
Love it.
But so that was kind of how I got the idea. I was like, you know what... We would all, and it was a kind of a double whammy, because we camp a lot, and then not even that, like, we would, at the time, we were camping, like, in Amish country a lot. So that's how I came up with that idea, and then that's how I came up with, like, me and my daughter, and, you know, when I originally wrote that, the story was totally different. It was like a ghost story camping, and it just didn't work, and I didn't want to do the paranormal thing, so it kind of turned into something different. But, yeah, I would just shoot a lot of those scenes, like, especially with her, while we were just out camping. You know, I'd be like, I need you to do this, and then she would do it. Or I would just film her doing something, and then we would get home and we'd voice it over. It was like a process. But it worked good. And then, like, with the crying at the end, I had to just, whenever there was like something my wife was doing that she didn't want her, like, give her a bath or something, she'd be crying, I would have to get that on audio, where she'd be like calling out for me to come get her. Yeah. So I'd be like in the living room and hear her like, baby, and I'd get my phone, I'd call her real quick.
And you're like, can you do that a little louder, please? Thank you.
I was telling Casper, that was another part that I think anybody, even if you don't have kids, there is always something about a film like that when it has to do with your child is missing, like somebody's child is missing and they're trying to find their child. The the gut sinking, like, oh my God, like that just, and then you hear your kid crying and you can't get to him and oh God, that gets me every time.
There was a film festival down in Virginia, Genre Blast, that Project Eerie premiered at, and it was a great turnout and all, and that was the thing when it was done that everyone was, that said to me, they were like, I gotta fucking go home and hug my kid now.
Oh,
you know, this was like, cause you know, most of them had kids that are like, holy shit, that broke my heart. To, you know, she's like crying, and I didn't realize it would resonate the way it did, but like that was the one thing that everyone mentioned. It was like the little girl broke my heart at the end of that.
And you have to tell everybody, like, so you have to tell everybody, like, she's okay. I dubbed the sound over. She's fine.
She's downstairs right now. The funny thing is, in that cage, that wasn't even her in the cage. She was never even there.
Right.
That was, she has a life-size Barbie, and I just took that with me. That's my friend Dennis's house. He's got that abandoned house, and I just took that and I put it in a cage, and he was in the corner just pulling an invisible string, so it looked like she was in there moving, and then I just added her crying over it and added everything, and
amazing.
It, you know, you can't even tell.
Let me tell you, looking back, I'm so glad my parents never got me one of those things, because I think if I would have woken up in the middle of the night and seen that thing in the corner of the room, it would have immediately gone in the garbage the next day. I wanted one so bad, and now looking back, I'm like, ooh, no.
I don't know.
That would have ended up, bad.
Cardboard cutouts of anything, because I, too, would have a hole punched through it.
That immediately, and I work, and we both wear glasses. Oh God, I'm blind. 3 o'clock in the morning, and that thing standing in the corner.
So I don't know how it happened, but one night I woke up and I looked in my closet, and Slender Man was there.
Yeah,
and like
telling me that
I don't know how my clothes were positioned. I literally put my glasses on and looked, and it was the way my clothes were positioned, so I just got up and closed the door.
Because glasses wearers, I swear to God.
Slenderman is literally not real.
Without our glasses, it is a full-on horror film.
I have never in my entire life believed in Slenderman, and I was like, fucking no.
He lives in the world without his glasses.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Oh man,
I wake up from a bad dream and see Slenderman in my closet, and I'm gonna shit myself. Like,
here's your 8 pages, bitch. Ricky, one of the last questions I have to ask is there any chance that the next film will have anything to do with one of the stories in the film, or is it going to pull from what happened to the two boys at the end?
No, it'll have something to do with one of the stories, but it's a very small piece that, you know, you, cause the thing is, I haven't shot anything. I don't want to, like, you know, I want to wait until I know for sure this is what I'm going to do.
Oh, of course.
It'll be, it'll be a spinoff, and it'll have something to do with one of them. And it should be good if I make sure I get the right actors and all. I'm actually really excited about it. I'm not done writing it yet. So the only issue with it is I wanted to take place in cold weather. I wanted to take place like now, but I didn't have the pieces ready yet to do it. So now I'm going to have to wait until this time, or about December of next year, until I could even begin filming it. So, cause I, for some reason, that's just how I picture it, with like no leaves, dead trees. I want it to look like that. So I need to, I could probably, if I didn't care about the weather, I could film it in the next month and a half, but I wanted to have that, so I gotta wait.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. I'll tweak it. I got a lot of shit I gotta get together. It'll be a, you know, Project Eerie was a restless adventure, so I can take a little time off. And but it, yeah, I'm really excited about it. Hopefully, it comes together good, and it should be pretty cool.
Well, I can't wait to see it, because every found footage movie you've came out with, I love. So I'm very excited to see what else you come up with.
How has it been with, I lied, I did have one more question, I'm sorry.
You fucking liar.
I'm sorry. ADHD, it just like, there it was. How has it been with, have you, because I know you've done a couple of, I know you mentioned the one that you did, that Project Eerie premiered at. How has it been with, like, marketing the movie, different festivals, different things like that? Like, how has that been?
That's actually my favorite part of it all, is to have it done and then figure out how am I going to try to get a little attention, you know, what am I going to do with it? That's actually the funnest part of it, because the hard work's done at that point. Now you got this, you know, this thing that you got to present to people. But so with Project Eerie, I didn't, there's this film festival, Genre Blast. That's the only place it played at. So these guys had another festival down in, I think it was Tennessee, and they showed the first Fear footage, but I didn't even submit it to Genre Blast because it's kind of a pretty decent festival. Like the turnout, I couldn't believe. I mean, there was hundreds of people there every day. It was a big deal. It was surprising. So I didn't even, I knew it was a little bit of a big festival. I didn't even submit. I'm like, they're not going to accept this little low budget shit. But their other festival did. And then the guy, one of them got back to me like a year later or something, was like, why didn't you submit Fear footage to Genre Blast? We would have accepted it. And I was like, I didn't think you would have. So then they reached out to me about Project Eerie and was like, look, we would love to world premiere it if we could. So the way it worked with that was I think it premiered September, and I was hoping to have Amazon already accept it and I could have like kind of push it, have the date ready, but it just didn't work that way. And I didn't have enough time to do any other festivals because I wanted it out by Halloween, considering it took place, you know, during Halloween.
Exactly.
That was a stressful time because I started submitting it to Amazon in June, thinking they would, you know, it only takes about 2-3 weeks for them to get back to you. And they just kept rejecting it for months. And they accepted it I think it was Friday the 13th, October 13th.
Of course.
I had 2 weeks. I didn't even know, you know, I had to, because at that point, I was literally my last ditch effort. I was like, I'm going to change this one thing and submit it, and this is it. If they don't take it, I'm just going to try to do a festival run. You know, maybe something will come of that, and then I'll just have to wait till next Halloween, because I'm not going to put out a Halloween movie on Valentine's Day or Christmas. It just, you're asking to fail. So it was a very quick adventure, like, but as far as the festivals and all, I'll definitely do that one again. I only did one with Project Eerie because the timing was so messed up with Amazon. It just fell in a weird, really weird spot. It was a miracle that it even made it out by Halloween, to be honest with you, because it was stressful. It was a dark time in my life for like 2 months, because I was like, fuck, I did all this. And the one thing I didn't expect was Amazon not to accept it. I've never had an issue with that. So this was just like out of nowhere, and I didn't know what the problem was. It was just but marketing and promoting it is the absolute funnest part of it, I think, because you can get, that's when I feel like I can get most creative, because I have to kind of make it stand out a little bit, like maybe have some interaction on like some social media type of thing, because I don't have a huge budget to just plaster it everywhere.
Right.
So I have to make the shit I do kind of count, and it has to be like a little more interactive, and it's, you know, a little more interesting than you would just normally plaster shit on the side of a bus and a billboard and put it on a McDonald's cup and you're good. I can't do any of that. So it's fun. Like I can't, when I'm making a movie, that's what I'm like, I can't wait to get to the point where it's done. And then I got to figure out how I'm going to roll this out. That's the funnest part.
Well, the way the social media part of it is perfect. It, you know, going back to like the sort of the Blair Witch-esque in the marketing on the social, media, where you're like, discover this. I mean, I that pulled me in with Fear footage way back when. So that, I'll tell you, that works perfect. I love that.
Even with like the Blu-rays and all, like even those are like an experience. It's just more than like a disc and a, you know, like especially with Project Eerie, that was super hard to get. It comes with a lot of shit. It's like, and it comes how the kids found it in the thing. So it was
hell yeah.
It's more like an experience. You know, it's not just, it's something to make it. Maybe if somebody wouldn't normally buy it, they might go, oh shit, you know, that might be worth getting, rather than just being a disc and a. You know, like it comes with that too, but it's just so much more. There's documents and there's like all this shit. So it's just more, I wanted everything to be more of an experience, because I feel like it propels it a little more than just buy my movie.
And it adds to the found footage aspect. Absolutely. Of it too. The that realness too. Of it.
You're like, this is footage I found.
Right, exactly. I've got the documents.
I think it was your guys' page, Frogman. Did you guys see Frogman?
We actually got to go to the premiere of that in Loveland.
So, yeah,
that was really... I haven't seen it yet, and I want to. It's, like, difficult to find.
It's on Vudu.
I'm going to go on Amazon to buy the shit.
It's on Vudu.
I had to watch it on Vudu
I don't even have that. I don't even know what that is.
You can just, Fandango owns them now. It's VUDU. It's a strange streaming
honestly,
platform.
It's,
I have not used it that many times.
You sign up for free and then you rent it. It's kind of like it's kind of like Tubi in the free aspect, but then if you look it up, you can get it for you can rent it. You can buy movies on Vudu too.
But okay, yeah, I actually
you guys was it good?
I
oh my god, it was good.
I saw articles about it and watched the trailer. Text Casper at like late at night. Like
she's like, you have to watch the trailer.
I was so excited. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm texting you so late. I was just so excited. And then we found out about the festival. We went because we live really close to Loveland and knew about the legend before, like kind of, it's not a big one around here, but like,
it's
you
one
know,
of
we,
Ohio's.
We knew about it. And so when we found about the movie and then the festival, we were like, oh, we've got to do this. And we've never done anything like this before. Let's, you know, it was awesome.
So it was showing at like a festival?
It was showing at the festival.
It was showing at Frogman Festival. A literal Frogman Festival.
It was showing at the festival. So the second year they've put it on too. So that was really cool.
Okay.
Especially being from here and like with the lore of it and all and like them not even being from here and just like appreciating it and really like, the execution of it was incredible. And I know people may think Frogman sounds lame. It kind of did to us too. But I'm gonna tell you right now, that movie, if you're in the middle of the woods and you see a 6 foot tall frog, I'm gonna tell you right now, that's gonna scare the piss out of anybody. I don't care who you are.
I mean, I like cryptids like that, so I was automatically like, oh, and the trailer looked great. I want to see it. I tried to. I'm like, I'm gonna buy it on Amazon. It wasn't there. So I'm like, fuck.
As of right now, it's only on Vudu and Apple TV.
And Apple TV. He's working with Amazon right now.
That's the only two things I don't have.
I'm telling you, man.
Well, Vudu you can get on anything. It's like the Android version of Apple. You can get that on anything. And I think it's like $4 to rent.
Okay.
It is worth it.
It was very well done. We really enjoyed it. We loved it. I got a shirt. I can't wait to rep it at Horror Hound because more people need to see it.
I wanted to ask you about that. How is the Horror Hound Film Festival?
I was actually about to tell you that before you mentioned Frogman. When you make a new movie, submit it to Horror Hound. Horror Hound is really trying to push their film fest a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Terrifier literally premiered at Horror Hound Film Fest. And you know how huge that is now.
So
Horror Hound is really good about that. And this is our second year doing the press and we loved it. We loved it last year.
So go ahead.
I was going to submit to them if I was going to do like a festival run. I don't know if they would accept it or not, but that was definitely on my list because it was also what I want to do. Like when I do festivals, I want them to be for the most part ones I can travel to. I don't like to fly. I've done it. I'll do it. I don't prefer it.
I don't blame you.
Like there I could drive. Like anywhere up and down the East Coast I could drive.
So right.
It's Horror Hound will definitely be on the list. And what is this? We're in March. They do two a year, though, right?
Yeah, they'll have one in September, and it'll be in Cincinnati as well. They haven't been able to do the one in Indianapolis as much ever since COVID because it was in a hotel.
So they've actually, the convention center where they put on Horror Hound in Cincinnati has actually expanded. They've added on to the actual building itself. So they've expanded more. So it's actually... It's helping the film festival aspect of it even more because now you're able to have the screenings and add more categories and things.
I've done a few like where they're convention film festivals and sometimes the film festival gets swallowed up. You know, it's kind of an afterthought in a few of them. So you never like Horror Hound's a big deal. So I would imagine they would somehow kind of do it right. So I was very leery to do a lot of the convention / film festivals because I feel like people are mostly there for the convention aspect of it. You know, like when it's like a festival that people are there for the movies, it's more intimate and it's more like they're there for the movies, you know? So I kind of just learned that just by doing both, but Horror Hound I would definitely do just because I would also, hopefully have like, I could do some press while I'm there. Like,
right.
And I would love to meet you, Ricky.
Yeah, we can meet you in person.
What year is this? We're in 24, so let's hope It might be a while.
We'll be there.
We'll be there. We'll, I've been to Horror Hound every year for the last
six. I don't know yet.
I've been to Horror Hound for the last, what, 10 years?
Well, I think, too, the way that they're pushing it more, I do like the aspect that you can, you know, just with your ticket, you get the convention side of it and you get the film festival. It's not like a separate thing. So, I know the more it's, I think it's growing so much more that you're seeing more people come over and want to watch these films and want to see these films and these, you know, a lot of these, you get a lot of breakout filmmakers there. And it's been
the festival, like, in its own area. Is it kind of like off quiet?
It is.
Yeah.
Well, what happened was is that the film festival used to be at the hotel across the street
where they would do the screenings.
The convention center is huge now. They're actually making it to where they can do the film festival there.
And have their own screening rooms.
Yeah, but as far as I know, I'm sure they would try to keep it as quiet as possible. Because they even say it. They're like, shut the fuck up while the movie's on.
Yeah,
like,
we didn't have any problems. We didn't have any problems with the movies. It was better than going to an actual movie theater with less people talking.
Yeah, I did one for the first Fear Footage, and it was one of those convention film festivals. And it, like... It was like the screen was like right off the main floor, so and it was like a curtain that separated it, and it was it didn't work. Like,
no,
this was a good idea, but then they the next year they fixed it. I didn't submit then, I just went, but they got it right the second time. But it was just like, this is not how I want this to be seen.
I couldn't, like, my movie, like, subtitles,
not,
please.
My movie's not meant to be seen like this, but yeah.
I feel like it's got to be seen right. It's got to be quiet, dark.
Yep.
That's how it works. It's got to be a movie theater. I mean, that's the reason movie theaters are quiet and dark.
1,000%. Yeah. So you're pulled into, so everybody collectively is pulled into the story.
Yeah, those,
for sure.
Especially in found footage where there's like those long, you know, tension shots. Mm-hmm. You can't have noise, outside noise. It's going
to
fuck it up.
Yeah. Especially if you're supposed to be in the middle of the woods and you're hearing a car siren, or, you know,
you're like, I have been taken out by this person screaming. Like, yay.
Somebody's car alarm's going off.
Yeah, somebody's singing karaoke from the bar.
Well, there, yeah. Oh, God, no.
Horrorhound actually does have karaoke at night, but, you know.
But it's nowhere near where the films are going to be. Thank
no.
God.
No.
Bricky, thank you again so much. This has been so much fun. We cannot wait to have you back on. Definitely submit to Horror Hound.
I definitely will.
And please plug everything, socials, and everything.
Yeah. I think it's the _fear_footage. That's on Instagram and Facebook. And that's really all I got.
Awesome. That's guys, check it out. It's on Amazon Prime. All of them are on Amazon Prime and for purchase on Blu-ray on the website too, correct?
Yes, Blu-rays on the website. That's correct.
Awesome. Awesome.
I need to buy all of them. All right. I need to buy every single one of those. I need to get my ass on that show.
When we get off, I'll get an address and I'll send you guys Project Gary.
No, you don't have to do that.
Thanks, Ricky.
I will. Just DM me an address.
We appreciate it, man.
You're so sweet. Oh my
Thank
God.
You
but
so
seriously,
much.
Submit next time you get a movie, submit it to Horror Hound. I'd love to meet you in person.
Horror Hound, it's always been on my list. I'm looking forward to it. It's just the timing's gotta be right. That's the thing with us. I gotta have the movie ready by the time they're, you know, it's tricky.
To submit.
March and September. Yep. Always. March and September.
Yeah. Okay.
Keep us posted and we'll be there.
Yep. And keep us posted on your new movie and we'll be watching it.
I will. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much, Ricky.
Have a good night.
All right. You guys have a good one.
All right. Bye. I love him.
All right, guys. That was awesome. Cool, I cannot believe it had been 3 years, way back when the original trilogy came out.
Years.
It goes by quick.
It does.
Guys, please support. Watch all of Ricky's stuff on Amazon Prime for rent or for purchase. You can buy the Blu-rays. He's got Project Eerie t-shirts. And like he said, the Blu-rays are interactive. You get like evidence bags and paperwork and all kinds of things where it's like you're interactive with the story. And it's really cool to do with the Fear Footage trilogy because those three movies have this tie-in, this like supernatural tie-in. So support everything Ricky does. Can't wait.
He's very cool.
And guys, like we were talking about, next week, we are going to be recapping Horror Hound. That is this weekend.
2 days.
2 days.
We just can't believe it's here. We're going to be watching some films. We're going to be getting in touch with some directors and writers. We're going to be meeting some people. We're getting a picture taken with the cast and director of...
Just the cast.
Oh, it's just the cast.
Okay. I can't afford the director.
It's fine. You know what? Just Heather, Josh, and Mike! And
Josh! Listen. I don't listen. So here's the thing. Like, people have asked me, like, who I'm looking forward to meeting at Horror Hound, and I can't stop saying Blair Witch people.
I can't either. I mean,
it's our fucking favorite found footage movie, and we get to meet the people who are in it and the director, who also directed Exists, which is one of the best Bigfoot found footage movies.
Which we both, like, low-key forgot.
And I,
like,
oh, right. My God. Eduardo.
Wait.
Bless you. So I can't wait to show them my Blair Witch bath room, and I can't wait to show them that it doesn't have the country bath fucking wall thing anymore.
Yeah, border.
Country bath Blair wall Witch. Border. I'm going to try to convince my fiance to let me put black handprints on the wall, but I don't know if she's going to let me.
Probably not.
Maybe so I might be able to get a missing poster to put up in the bathroom, because I did tell her I wanted more Blair
Compromise.
Witch. And she's like, that's cool. But I haven't been like, can I put black handprints on the wall?
Compromise.
Is it okay?
Compromise.
Yeah, so we're going to Horror Hound this weekend. So excited to meet everybody we're going to be talking to at Film Fest. So excited to talk to the Blair Witch cast, see all of our friends.
I'm going to try really hard, if his line isn't insane. Shout out to my tattoo artist, Ash. I'm going to try really hard to show James Jude Courtney my Michael Myers tattoo. I'm gonna try really hard.
She's getting a Blair Witch tattoo at the hotel.
I'm gonna try
at the convention.
At the hotel. I'm gonna try. We're gonna make the attempt. We're gonna see if it's gonna happen. We're gonna try. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It was a spur of the moment, on a whim, whatever kind of thing, but we'll see. We're gonna make it happen. I get to meet them. That's all the fuck I care about. Listen.
How fucking cool is that?
Listen. Okay? 15-year-old me is like, what? Like,
found footage year-old me is screaming because I'm like, this is the movie I watch 2 to 3 times a year, if not more, to be honest. So I'm wanting to get, like, a big poster and have them sign it, have all of them sign it and add it to my collection because that would just be cool as fuck. So I got a Blair Witch shirt. You got a Blair Witch sweatshirt. We are ready to go.
Because we're going to have some bipolar weather in Ohio this year like we do every year because this is when it happens.
Tash! I'm sorry.
Listen, it's just... It's my favorite part. Tell me why I watched it a couple weeks ago and when he was like, I kicked that fucking map and he started... I lost it. I don't know what got it. I started laughing so hard.
That map wasn't doing shit.
When he ate the leaf. Why are there so many parts in it? I'm telling you.
We talk about this movie an ungodly amount of times. Have we ever actually reviewed it?
I don't think so.
Has literally come up in the last 15 episodes, and we're like, we've never actually reviewed this film.
And I think because it's one of those where it's so coveted and it's been talked about so much that I'm like, I don't know what more we could give to it.
Not really much of
anything. I don't even know what more. I think that's probably why. You don't want to beat it to death. It's already been beaten to death. And it's just, you want to leave it the way it is. It's so great.
Mm-hmm.
But we are definitely going to be talking about meeting them. I'll tell you that.
I mean, hell yeah.
About the movie, but we'll be talking about meeting people. Because.
And the time I thought that the new movie Coffin Rock was Blair Witch related when it wasn't at all.
That is hilarious.
It was terrible.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, look, it's called Coffin Rock.
Oh.
I thought it was legitimately
I would have too. But then I'm like, wait.
And then I watched it and I was like, oh, no, this is not correct.
All right, guys. Well, of course, you know, we have the socials, what? Facebook.
I apologize.
My fucking dumbass was like, I'm going to go into this blind. I'm not even going to look it up. Coffin Rock. It's about Blair Witch. It was not.
It was not at all.
So you guys know we have the socials at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at DFWTO Podcast. You can give us a follow. The handle is DFWTO8811. If you have any questions, concerns, want to say hey, or give us an idea for the podcast, email us at DFWTO8493@gmail.com. And lastly, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, and Amazon Music. Yes, I know that is a new one, if you guys realized. Google Podcasts is no longer a thing, and we don't really care for YouTube. Now, as far as YouTube as a whole, we love YouTube, but we don't want to be on YouTube because YouTube is kind of picky about cussing.
And we're not planning on, you know, monetizing anytime soon. There's just too many rules and regulations with all
eventually
that,
so. Maybe just maybe, but it's a big
might
fat
try
maybe.
It out once,
but Amazon Music, we are on. We've actually been on Amazon Music for a while. I didn't realize that, even though I made it to where we were.
If you have an Amazon Prime account, it comes free with it, so if it's something that somebody wants to utilize without, if you don't want to pay for Spotify or whatever, hey,
you can get the app. It's an Amazon Music app, and you can search podcasts, and we're right there. So there, but yeah, I actually put it on our link page. I put it on our Flowcode link page, so you can just click on it. That way you can go right to it. I did take Google Podcasts off. That one will no longer be getting updates. So if you listen to us on that, make sure to switch to Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, or Amazon Music. I'm so sorry.
You poor thing. Hacking. And coughing and sneezing and
story of my fucking life. That's going to be on my grave. She hacked, she coughed, she sneezed.
Anytime I ever hear the first day of spring, all I think is pollen. Like, it just, it's everything in nature, and I love nature, but nature is perpetually trying to kill us all.
Well, I mean, we're trying to kill her. Don't get me started on that. But anyway, so guys,
it do be turning. It do be turning.
Mother Nature said, fuck you, actually.
I mean, you kind of deserve it.
You are correct. But yeah, guys, thank you, of course, for supporting. Again, go on Amazon Prime. Go watch.
Big thanks to Ricky again. Please watch Project Eerie and all the fear footage films and support. Yep.
And we'll be talking about Horror Hound next week. So if you guys are going to Horror Hound, make sure to come say hey. We'll be there. We'll be doing some press. And we'll be wearing blinged out in Blair Witch shit. So
blared out in Blair.
Josh! Josh! Mike! I'm over here! Alright, anyways. You guys have a wonderful week. Thank you for your support as always. We love you. And remember, don't fuck with the original. Josh!